Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Let's bow our heads and pray.
Father, we thank you for this privilege, this opportunity, this blessing, this door. Thank you for this great life you are ushering us into. We pray that this time we are spending in your presence will be a seed that will grow continually till many fruits can be seen. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. You may be seated. Very good. I want to welcome all of you to this special time we are spending away from our day-to-day life, and it's a blessing that we are in this beautiful place created by our Father and our pastor. Very nice. How many of you are here for the first time? You've not been here before, this is your first time, so most of you. And so there's always a first time to experience something. Are you enjoying the place?
Yes.
You see that it's cold, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. God is preparing you to go to Europe. So I want to thank God that he touched your heart to come forward during the services we had over the weekend to be trained to be a shepherd, a basenta leader, and to work for God. We are building a new church, and I want to say to you that you didn't come forward on your own. God pushed you forward. He chose you. He pulled you to come forward. And it shows that he has a plan to use you.
Amen.
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 He has a plan to use you. Many of you are going to be lady pastors one day. I don't know which service you were in, whether I don't know which one, but that service you were sitting in,
one day.
You will be a lady pastor in that service. We will not even be there. You will be the pastor of the church.
Some of you are going to be reverends one day in that church service. I'm saying that if you are sitting here today, the meaning is that God has selected you. Yeah. Look at Numbers chapter 16. Verse 9. Numbers 16. Do you have New King James? Give us New King James. It says, are you all with your Bibles? Yeah, so when I mention it, then you also turn to your own Bible and open to your Bible. Even if your version or your translation is different, just attempt to open to it. Yeah. Yeah. You know, don't even project the verse. Yeah. Put a picture of a bird or something or a monkey on the screen. Yeah. Learn to open your Bible. So I'm opening my Bible. I'm reading from New King James. But let's most of you have King James, or New King James. Okay. It says, and the lady with the baby, since we are using speakers here, I will ask you to go to the back. Far back, yes, because you can still hear us, so that the baby doesn't disturb us also. Mm-hmm. It's not his fault or her fault. So yeah, go to the far back. So I'm explaining something to you. That something happened on Saturday or Sunday. I don't know which service you are in. And it's a very, very important thing that happened. God selected. No. Hello? Whenever you think about yourself, you don't do what is right. One secret to doing what is right is to think about others. It leads you to be a good person. So something very powerful happened on Sunday, or Saturday, and I'm saying that God, I didn't come to church with that in mind, to make an altar call for people to step forward, to be trained, to be leaders. No. It was not on my mind at all. It was as far from my mind as the name of the Japanese Prime Minister's housewife in Tokyo. Very, very far. But when I went to the stage, I felt the Lord was leading me. That's how you are sitting here. Now, listen to this. It is not a small thing. It's not a small thing. Something very great is happening to you. And that is the question. Moses is the one speaking. Numbers 16, verse 9. Moses says, "Seemeth it." Let me read from the New King James so I can help some of you. He said, "Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself? To do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve them." So if you go back, you look into read your Bible, you see, number one is that he has separated you. I don't know what your translation is, but just you can, if you follow, you see that he has separated you from the congregation. So when you left your chair on Saturday or Sunday, and you came to stand forward, you see that God had separated you.
That's the beginning. That step you took marked the beginning of something that is not a small thing. When you say something is not small, what does it mean? It's big, it's great, it's powerful. Mm-hmm. The day you stepped out and came to stand in front was the first step God took to separate you. Then, from what? To separate you from the congregation. That is the church. I mean, it's not a small thing as I even think about it, because the church itself has been, it's a group of people who have been separated from the world. The church service, church. When we come to church, we have been separated from the world. That's even the meaning of church. It's called the called out ones. You see that when you come to church, you leave your cousins behind at home. Your classmates don't go to church. So the church in itself is a group of people God has separated from their classmates, from their neighbors, from their friends. He has separated us. Now, when we are in the church also, then God does another type of separation, of separating certain special people from the separated ones. It's not a small thing. I can now understand. Say, is it a small thing? It's not a small thing. It's not a small thing. And what is God doing by that? He separates you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is how to come close to God. How many of you want to be close to God? I think everybody wants to be close to God. This is how to be close to God. God separates you from the congregation so that you can be close to him. It means that those in the congregation who are not stepping forward are not as close to God as you ought to be or will be. So what is happening is truly not a small thing. God wants you to come close to him. That's why he separates you from the congregation to the front. To do what? To bring you near to himself. To do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord. And to stand before the congregation to serve them. Like I'm standing in front of you. I was standing in front of the church on Sunday. Lady Pastor Mary's was standing in front of you to lead you in a song. Bishop Kobe was standing in front of you last night. It is not a small thing to stand in front. One of your aims in life should be to one day stand in front of a church and speak to the church. It's a better aim than an aim to be a doctor or an aim to go to Italy to harvest tomatoes. It's a better aim. I'm sharing an aim with you. It's an aim that one day, I want to be standing in front of a church service. Whether they are 10, whether they are 20, whether they are 1,000, or they are 4,000, I must stand in front. By standing in front, it's your way of being close to God. It's your way of being separated from the congregation. So, lady pastors, you are a regional head. It is a special thing God has given you. You see, so when you don't treat it well, I'm very happy to see you here. It shows that you value the privilege God has given you to stand in front of the congregation. So today, I want to start by lifting something from a verse I didn't even have in mind when I came in here. But I'm lifting a sentence, a phrase from the verse you have just read. And that is what I am going to use to have the meeting we are going to have today and tomorrow, God willing. And the verse, the sentence I'm lifting up out of this verse is to bring you near to himself. To bring you near to himself. By the end of this time we are having here, you should have felt in your heart that you are closer to God. You should have felt in your heart that you are near God. Because David says, being near God is a good thing. It's a good thing. Psalm 73, verse 28. Look at it. I'm also looking for it. Everybody, turn your Bible. Look for Psalm. And then Psalm 73. I hope that is even the verse I'm looking for. But if I don't find it, we are all looking to the Bible. Yes. Psalm 73. Verse 28. I don't know what translation you are using, but I'm reading from my translation. It says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. It is a good thing to draw near. Everybody say, near God.
Near God.
Say, I must draw near God.
I must draw near God.
That is how to stand in front and be a shepherd. To stand in front of a bus center. To stand in front of a church service. To stand in front of what? A fellowship meeting. To stand in front of what? Whatever. God's people. To stand in front. That space is for people who are near God. And David said, it is a good thing to draw near. So I am going to draw you near God.
Amen.
Being a shepherd or a basenta leader is not for people who are not near God. When we use the word near, it gives the idea of a distance. We are all at different distances from God. Even in this room, some people are close to God, like 1 meter from God. Some are 4 centimeters from God. Some are 1 kilometer. Oh, but even if you are 1 kilometer away from God, God will use me to draw you near. So that's the first thing I want to tell you. You want to be a shepherd? You want to serve God? How many of you want to serve God? That's why we step forward. You guys are all special people.
Wow.
Special. No classmate sitting in a classroom with you will be equal to you, will be near you, will be like you. You are different. So my work is to make sure that the first condition has been fulfilled, that you are near God. The people who are near God, who are shepherds, they work well. When somebody says he wants to be a pastor, train me to be a pastor. Train me to be a shepherd. You don't train the person by telling the person how to be a pastor. First of all, ask yourself, is the person near God? What is the distance between you and God? That's the first question. If you are not mature, if you are a little child, and I come to you and say, Pastor, I love Jesus. Train me. I want to be a pastor. Then you start by teaching me verses about evangelism, how to win a soul, how to go on visitation. No, you are wrong. Wow. Your first step in training me to be a pastor or a shepherd is not to teach me about evangelism. Is to find out the distance between me and God. So in our church today are pastors who are not near God. You see that the person is called pastor, but he's not near God. He has not prayed in a long time. Has not read his Bible in a long time. It's not near God. It's your lady pastor. Oh, that's a shepherd. Oh, that's the Basanta leader who is going there. Basanta leader, Bismarck. He's an unbeliever working there. So the first thing, I'm telling you this because, you see, even though I'm training you, I'm preparing you to also train somebody one day. Yeah, one day. And your first step, one day, it may be 10 years time, 12 years, 20 years, 7 years, 2 years, 1 year. Whenever you start preparing, maybe you become a Basanta leader next year. And you want to train people to become fellowship leaders in your Basanta. Don't start training fellowship leaders in your Basanta by teaching them how to mobilize people. How to go and call people. How to do an akazo. No. If you want a fellowship leader, what's your name, my dear? Princess. If I'm a Basanta leader and I want Princess to be what? Fellowship leader? Is that what we call? A GBC, gathering bus campaigner. A gathering bus campaigner. A fellowship leader. My first responsibility is to ensure that she is very close to God. Singers must be close to God. Instrumentalists must be close to God. I mean, if you want to build a choir, you don't start building a choir by auditioning people with good voices. When they come and stand in front of you to sing a song, or to demonstrate their range, you should ask them to quote a verse first. Ask them what they understand about being born again. I'm saying that the nearness of a person to God must be your concern. Not that the person has 10 members, 40 members, 20 members. It's a CEO. Constituency overseer. The last time we brought new converts here and pastors and overseers came with them, when the converts were being baptized, constituency overseers also jumped into the water to be baptized. They have never been baptized. I'm saying to you that when you rise up one day, you will train someone to be a leader in the church. One day. Amen. Your first thing should be, is this person near God? Princess must be a Basanta leader. I want her to be a Basanta leader. My first question, my first assignment is to make sure that Princess is near God. Otherwise, I am grooming a fornicator who, because she does outreaches, brings people to church, feels that she can continue stealing, lying, fornicating, sinning, because the emphasis is on how many people you can bring, but not who you are as a Christian. Wow. There's a verse I've come to love, and I want to read that verse with you. It's in Matthew chapter 12. Princess, you can sit down, my dear. You got a Bible? Beautiful. Matthew chapter 12. Yes. Every reading. Verse 33. Matthew in the New Testament. Chapter 12. Verse 33. It says, either make the tree good and its fruits good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. One translation called the New Living Translation says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. So when you want certain fruits, what you do is to make the tree good. And that is what we are doing here. We came up here to make you a good tree. Then all the fruits that we need from you as a Bacenta leader will come. Many of you sitting here are bad trees. You can train a bad tree to go and win souls, or call people to church, or open a Bible and teach. All these are activities that good and bad trees can perform. So today, I am going to start by bringing you near to God. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. You come near God before you begin your work as a servant. So my question now I'm asking is, are you close to God? Is it a good question, my dear? Are you close to God? And how close are you to God? Because your closeness to God determines your fruitfulness as a pastor or a shepherd. How close are you? How close are you to God? Now, you can sit down. Your closeness to God is captured in a very big word. And that is the word we are going to discuss. And that word is salvation.
Wow. Wow.
Salvation. Salvation. You must be saved. Are you saved? 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Timothy is in the New Testament. If you go deep, deep, you find it there. Yes. What's your name? Yvonne has found 2 Timothy. And she has found chapter 1. Now, let's read verse 9. Verse 9. It said, who has saved us? And called us I want to use the last word in verse 8. The last word in verse 8 is God. Not so? I'm taking that word and I'm joining it to verse 9. God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. So before you are called to be a pastor, you must be saved. First, the first thing is saved. And then you are called. That's it. Saved before called. If you do the call without being saved, you will not do the call well. You will do it, and then stand in front of Jesus one day and said, in your name, as a called person, I healed her. She was sick. I prophesied to her. In your name, I built a church. And Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. So it is dangerous to follow the call of God when you have not been saved. It's dangerous. There are many pastors, many shepherds who are following the call of God and they are not saved, or they are not saved properly. Because one of the most powerful things that can deceive a person is the work of God. It deceives you. It deceives you. If you're not careful, you will even preach messages which are not in the Bible. You feel powerful. When you begin to heal the sick. Is she sleeping? Hey. Okay, she's not. Her eyes were closing. Yeah. So let's all read that verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. Just the first sentence. One, go. One, okay, let's, you just start from verse 9, that's all. One, go. Again. Again. Yes. So, the call, so the order is this. You are saved first, and then you are called to be a shepherd. Which is also very important that I mention this, that when you are also saved, you are properly saved, the next thing is to follow the call. Yes, anybody who is properly saved must also serve God, must also follow the call, must also be a shepherd, must also work for God. So both are true. Number one is that when you are saved properly, the next thing is the call. And it's also true that if you want to be called, if you want to follow the call, you must make sure that you are saved. So always the order is this: saved, number one, and then number two is called. Number one is saved, number two is called. You are saved, and then you follow the call. Never, never follow the call to be a shepherd, to build a bus center, and you are not properly saved. So today, I am going to start to teach you about your salvation. Yes. Salvation. Now, what is salvation? As I'm standing here, I'm standing here as a pastor. That's my title. But I've been saved first. There are many ways we can describe salvation. Number one is that when you are saved, you are saved from sin. You are saved from sin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. That's what it means to be saved. Abner is a shepherd. Abner is saved. What does it mean to be saved? Abner is saved because she has now been saved from her sins. That's number one. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. What are some of the sins you know about? Do you know what is a sin? A sin is something that God doesn't want you to do, but that you are practicing as a lifestyle. What are some of the sins? Yes? If you know one, you can raise your hand. Yes? What's your name? Oscar. Mention one sin. Stealing. Yes. So you can be, you see, you are saved and then called. So you can be called and you are stealing. So that stealing, which you have developed as a habit, has to end. I mean, you can't be a thief and you are a shepherd. Even our two little bus centers we are doing, we take offerings at the bus center meetings. If you are a thief, you will take 10 Ghana cedis offering and bring the church 3 Ghana. That's the offering. You are a thief. So Jesus, when you say, oh, Bernard is saved, it means that he has been saved from a lifestyle of stealing. He was once upon a time a thief. But he doesn't steal anymore. So, before I make you a shepherd, I need to work on your stealing. I cannot assume that you don't steal. I need to work on your stealing and also put things in place to make sure that your stealing has ended. Another sin. Yes, sir. Your name? Samson. Mention another sin. Lying. You are a liar. Liars, first of all, are going to hell. And a pastor cannot be a liar. A pastor cannot be a liar. A shepherd can't be a liar. I'm talking about, this camp is about salvation. I'm explaining salvation to you. I'm explaining salvation to you. You have been saved from lying. That's why my first responsibility is not to teach you how to do outreach. How to go and win a soul. Which verses we use to do. No, I need to make sure that you have been saved from lying. You are not a liar anymore. And that when you lie as a shepherd, something must prick you. I'm going to take you through all that. What else? Your name? Nuti. Yes? What? Mention one, another sin. Because, did you read Matthew 1:21? Jesus Christ saved. See, salvation, it comes from the word save. Save, salvation, save. He saves us not from poverty. Jesus doesn't save us from lack of water. He saves us from our what? Ignorance. No, our what? Sin. Sin. What's your name? Gilbert. Gilly, do you have a sin? What sin do you practice? Mention one. I know there are about 7 of them. You lie. Which is your worst sin that you are believing God to stop? It's your worst sin. Then number 2 is what? Insulting. Yes. That's the point. You can't be a shepherd and you are insulting people. They will leave. A shepherd rather loves people. Yes. Nuti, what's... Please sit down. Fornicating. What is fornicating?
It's when you're not married and you're having sex without, like, you're not married.
Without condoms.
It's when you are not good.
You are not married,
yes,
to somebody and you're having sex with that person. It's called fornication. Yes. Do you think that some people here are fornicators? How many of you here have fornicated before? Before. Not now. I'm not saying you are a fornicator now. Before, by the grace of God, you have stopped. But before. Yes. So, listen. It's not that you are a bad person. That's how we were born. We were born to like girls. If you are a man. If you are a girl. You are born to like boys. So when you see a girl who falls in love with another girl, you are looking at a wonder and something very, very wonderful. Puberty is around what age? 14, 13, 15, depending on what type of food you eat. Yeah. Around that time, you get drawn to boys. I mean, the feelings are strong. Have you had that feeling before? Yes. It's not, no, you're not a bad person. In fact, you need it to even grow. But you can follow that feeling till you are now a lotto kiosk in your area. Anybody comes to take lotto and go. But Jesus comes to save you from that thing that makes you have sex. And to train you to be a shepherd, we must deal with that life. I mean, as we sit here, let's say I'm a male. And this is my church. Mommy, you can see here, there are far more girls here than boys. Even this small group. So if I have not dealt with my fornication, that sin, can you imagine? I'll just be sleeping with girls. I bring you near, I sleep with you. And there are pastors who sleep with church. Well, not sleep with, have sex with church members. That is why you are saved before you are called. Yes, we must deal every, like a male, we come to the woman. As a man, I must deal with that thing in me that makes me like a girl, because I like girls. I'm telling you, I like girls. It's natural. It's normal. Who doesn't like snails? Why non pe on waba? But if I don't deal with it, I will be a shepherd of the Frafraha Basenta with six girls, and I've slept with my singer who sings before I have my Basenta meeting. I've slept with the airport star who takes offerings, and currently I am sleeping with my treasurer. No, that is why the order is saved and then called. If you don't deal with the subject of salvation, we are going to plant unbelievers in the church and dress them up. Because the person passed an exam, the person is now a Basenta leader because she passed an exam. Meanwhile, this girl in school, she slept with all the boys in her class. Because girls like boys more than boys like girls. Some of you sitting here at your old, just young face, you've slept with about seven boys already as I'm sitting here like a normal girl. Already. What other sin is there? Let's have two more and then we'll close. Yes, Daddy, what's your name?
Eric.
Adultery. Aha, that's also another one. Thank you. I'm happy he was not intimidated by fornication. Adultery is for adults. Adults who are fornicating. Yes, adults. That is, because you must be an adult to marry. So you've, very important. You may think it's about, but we've discussed fornication. Why do we now talk about adultery? I wouldn't have even mentioned adultery. This is my wife. I'm married as an adult. Then I'm also having sex with this girl. And many of you, very soon, I give you 5 years, 7 years, you will be married. Many of you guys, girls, are going to be married soon. You will have a wife. You will have a husband. But you will find out that in spite of your husband, you are drawn to your worship leader. Hey. As an adult. So you are a shepherd. You are a pastor. You are married with two children. But you sense a feeling, a drawing towards Mabel. And if you have not been saved first from this life of fornicating as an adult, you have church. Your wife is sitting there as the first lady. But as you are preaching, the girlfriends are waking. Yeah. The girl on the fourth row, as you are in the middle of the preaching, as she's clapping, you say something, she gets up, she claps, then she does this. It's at 3 o'clock, we are meeting there. And there are pastors who are preaching in church, in front of a church, but have got girlfriends they are sleeping with in the congregation. You now understand why you must be saved first? That it's a mistake to bring you here and start teaching you how to win a soul. When I have not dealt with your closeness to God. Is it a small thing that the God of heaven will bring you out of the congregation? And will choose you from the congregation to bring you near to himself. The key is to bring you near. That is, to make you a saved person. And Paul wrote to Timothy and said, God, who saved us and told us. So, you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. So, what is salvation? What is salvation? We've written it down. It's being saved from your sins. Plenty of them. More. We've mentioned fornicating, lying, stealing, adultery, but more. Two more? Yes? Gossiping? Yes. I met your daughter. She's growing tall. She's becoming a pretty girl. Wow. And your church is working. It's a beautiful thing. God bless you. Then when I finish with her, I go and I meet her. I say, look at this. She can't preach. Her church is finishing. Wow. And she doesn't know her church is finishing. Wow. Gossip. A pastor doesn't do that. You don't talk behind somebody. What else? What's your name? Priscilla. False accusation. False accusation. False accusation. The person hasn't done something. You have tried to create an evil and you have labeled the person. It's a sin. It's listed in the Bible as one of the evils of the last days. Yes? Betting. Betting. You know something is a sin by its fruit. What does betting do? It makes you poor. Makes you stop school because you bet with your school fees. Yes. It makes them sack you from the work because they give you money to go and do some purchases. And you use the money to bet, thinking that by Monday, when Arsenal wins, you are getting the money back plus more. Before you know it, it's 4-0. Anybody saying, yeah, who is betting? You are sinning. You have set up your life to be a thief. One day you'll be an armed robber. There's nothing that is good in it. So that's it about salvation. Matthew 1:21. You are saved. I'm talking to you. So this camp we are going to deal with. How do you overcome adultery as an adult? How? How do you stop betting? We are going to learn it. That's salvation. Because when we point to you as Francis the Shepherd, we are pointing to somebody who has overcome all these problems. I was like that before. But I am not doing that anymore. Amen. Which takes me to my second definition of sin. I'm giving you a salvation. Just two things. Just two. One of them is that it is being saved from your sins, not your education or lack of education. Number two, the second definition of salvation is being. And that word, you should write it in capital letters. Completely changed into a new person. That's all. The only two. Completely changed into a new person. That's the second definition. What's the first one? And the second one is what? 2 Corinthians 5:17. No, not being. Completely is the one you must highlight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Turn to your Bible. Which is really a part of number one. But number one should eventually lead to number two. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the total transformation. That's salvation. That's salvation. That's salvation. And two big things you see in the verse. Two things that will make you totally new. Two things. Number one is that old things must die. Because we are going to see new things. I mean, how many of you have been here to this Adakazo campus before? You have been here before to come and have a camp like this. How many of you have not been here before? Yes. New things. Some of you are reading verses in your Bible for the first time since you were born in 1958. Is it not new? Is it Oscar? Eric, have you sat in a camp like this and opening verses like this? Yes. It's new. And other new things are going to be, I'm going to talk about all of them. But these new things are not going to be added to your old life. Please, look up. Let me tell you. This point is very important. The new things we are going to talk about are not things we add to our old life. So, you were fornicating, you are a liar, you are a thief, but we have added Bible studies. We have added going to church. We have added singing in a choir. But you are actually still with your boyfriend. But we have added church attendance. No. To be saved, the old things must pass away. It must pass away. Look. Imagine me standing here with a blue cloth all over me. Wouldn't I look new? A blue cloth. You come and put a blue cloth all over me. I'm new. So there are two types of new. The first type is you are wearing black trousers and white shirt, and a blue cloth has been thrown all over you. You look blue. But there's black and white under. And the second type of new is that we have put a blue cloth all over you, but you removed the black and white under first before the blue cloth was over you. There is a type of new you must not be. The new that is put on you with the old things under. It leads to deception. That's how you start. That's why I'm dealing with salvation. That in this meeting, we are going to throw a new blue cloth, shiny blue, over you. But you should have removed what is under first. Because the truth is that Whether you have removed what is under or you have not removed it, nobody sees it. All they see is blue. So you are on the stage singing, you are in the church preaching, but you are fornicating, you are an adult with your wife, and you have added your treasurer to your wife. Nobody sees it. As I'm standing here, do you know if I was fornicating this dawn? Do you know what life I have lived as I'm standing? You won't know. What you know is that the pastor is preaching. So there can be a new person who is now a preacher but is still fornicating. That's why the salvation, that's why the word is complete. The complete change is that there must be a remover. But I'll come there. This is just introduction. I'm just introducing the subject. This is the teaching. We are talking about the new that comes from the removal of your old. How many of you have got old things you must remove? MC, lift your hand boldly up. You have them. The thing is that put your hand down. Whether you remove it or you don't remove it, we are going to throw a blue cloth over you. Is there? We have the blue cloth in the suitcase already. We're going to throw. Get your own. Get your own. Get your own. Get your own. But what will be under? Once a while, you see that what is under tries to protrude. It shows a little. That there's a phone in his pocket as the blue cloth is there. Because there's a phone is pushing up. Because as you are there, you are whatever. People can see that you are fornicating, but they don't say it. But generally, the blue cloth covers everything. So, I want to now start. Can I start now to talk about salvation? Do you want to know how to be saved?
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Yes.
Do you want to know how to be saved?
Yes.
How to be saved from lying?
Yes.
The sinful nature.
Yes.
How to be changed? Do you want to know how to be changed?
Yes.
To be saved, you need only one thing. Which many of you don't have. Without that one thing, you cannot be saved. Without it, 2 Corinthians 5. So I'm now starting. This is the beginning now. So today and tomorrow, we are going to talk about only one thing that you need. How many of you want to know that one thing?
I want to know.
Okay. You came here for this?
Yes.
Okay. And before we descend, you must make sure you have it.
Amen.
If you don't have it, you have failed. You are not saved. What we are going to talk about these 2 days is a word called faith. If you don't have it, you have it.
Amen.
There is no salvation without faith. Another word for faith is believing. You are going to have to start believing certain things. If you don't believe certain things, you can't say that you are saved.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makinere Cathedral near Valley View University, OUB, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.